Thanks for listening to the Art Tactic Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Green. Well, there aren't often innovative technologies or new ways of collecting that gain some traction in the art world. But when there is, we love to examine them more closely. So in this week's episode of the podcast, we're joined by Jordan Huelskamp, founder of Salon, an internet-based member-managed contemporary art collection owned by a decentralized community of tastemakers, to explore new ways of financing and managing an art collection and displaying its works in the homes of its members around the world. So hope you enjoy this fascinating conversation with Jordan. Thanks so much for listening. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us.
Adam, thank you so much for having me. I'm really appreciative of this opportunity.
Absolutely. So to start things off, I gave that description of Salon, but explain it to us. What exactly is this initiative all about?
Well, you did a great job introducing us. That was phenomenal. So yeah, you
clearly
done your research.
I read it from your website.
Yeah. So like you said, we are a member-managed art fund. So what does that mean? Instead of having one fund manager, like a traditional art fund might, we have a community that comes together, and through group consensus and decision-making, we decide what we're going to buy together. We really built Salon with this idea that we can make better acquisition decisions and make better choices together. I think the social aspect of art collecting is something that's really natural to all of us and that we all know well, right? We go to art fairs together. We talk about acquisition decisions with our friends, our family, our loved ones, people whose opinions we trust. Art can be a very social experience. And I think that Salon allows a lot of our members to really take their art collecting into a new sort of place, really participate in the art world in a new way, and have fun doing it.
Well, something you said that really resonated with me is that as a group, you make decisions about the collection. And I think if you're able to make decisions with others, you're going to make better decisions, in particular in the long term. As an art advisor myself, when I'm speaking to my clients, I remind them that we can make better decisions together as a team. And so it ends up being a very collaborative relationship. So I think that's really an important component of this for your group in terms of how you go about acquiring works.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting that we all bring our own perspectives and biases to our collecting, right? Some people might really go deep on a specific region. Some people might go deep on a specific aesthetic style or a movement or a type of artist. And that's great if that's the art that you want to live with in your home. I personally have a specific style that I have around me, but there's so much more actually that I'd like to collect for so many different reasons. I want to support artists that I care about whose values are aligned with mine, that maybe their art isn't right for my home space. So I think naturally there was a lot of things that were kind of happening to me in my life that made me primed to try to create this new model for people to experience art together through. But yeah, we also like, I think it's super natural for us to really try to qualify these decisions that we're making with people whose opinions we trust. I think about like when I'm buying art personally with my husband, some of the stuff we've almost bought but then didn't because the other person vetoed ended up probably not being the right choice for us. And some of the things that we liked the most were the pieces we debated the hardest about but then ultimately decided we love them. So in that sort of framework, we can, through Salon, sort of create that framework for more people at once.
So I actually wasn't too familiar with Salon until very recently. When did you establish it? What motivated you to do so? And how exactly did you go about founding it?
Yeah. So I started thinking about starting Salon in 2021. I come from both an art and a tech background. I am curatorial lead at Artsy. So I've been at Artsy for a long time. I approached the art world with a sort of background and perspective of innovation and how can we move forward and how can we expand. And so when the Beeple sale happened and people started buying NFTs, I thought, oh my God, okay, here it comes. Technology is knocking on my door. It's here. It's in the art world. I really have to learn about this. to see where this is going and what I may be able to do here. So I started learning about DAOs, which were this really fascinating online way people were getting together to create financial investment decisions together through these blockchain-based smart contracts. And the first DAOs were kind of coming up around making investments in the blockchain space itself. But then a next generation DAO around that time was emerging for people to co-invest in NFTs together. And I thought, how fascinating. You have, in some cases, 100 people getting together in this digital room, deciding on an online platform what art they want to buy together. And I didn't have enough expertise in NFTs. I'm a fine physical art girl. So I wasn't interested in, getting involved at that level, because I didn't know enough about digital art. But I thought, if I can bring this to fine art and bring this to the physical world, then maybe we have something here. And, it's not a super novel concept when you think about it. We've had museum acquisition decision committees for a very long time. We've got the YCCs of the world. We have a board of directors at museums that help sort of in a consensus-based way decide where programming is going to go. So it seemed like a natural fit. But then the next steps were, okay, how do we really make this work? How do we take this from digital into the physical world? There's all sorts of compliance and regulatory sort of obstacles that we would need to make sure that we're not running into. We want to be totally compliant. We want to be safe. We want to pay our taxes like we need to. Like, this needs to be all above board. So the very first thing I did was hire a law firm to help me decide what the legal framework for this would be. We ended up building Salon as a partnership, so we're all wrapped in a Delaware LLC. Everybody's, enjoys the same protections that they would in many other investment ventures. And then the next step was, okay, we need to build a platform. So how do we create this online community and online space for people to really make these decisions together, for people to propose art, for people to look at art together, to vote on that art? So worked with a really phenomenal developer, created the app custom. Our Salon app is gorgeous. You can visit most of it at salondao.xyz. Some of it is member gated, so you won't be able to see how everything gets voted on and everything that's happening internally, unless you are a member, but you can see the works we've collected online. And then step three was getting people to join. So it was a really natural and organic process for which people wanted to sign on. The first was first free connections, and sort of our second wave was friends of friends. Now we're seeing friends of friends of friends come and join. But the thing that we all have in common is a history of art collecting. So everybody involved in Salon collects personally. They have deep experience in the art world, and we're really bringing, like I mentioned earlier, our strengths together. So some of our, members might have access to gallery networks over here. Some might have access over there. And not only do we think we make better decisions by workshopping together, but we also are able to access a lot of really incredible works that we might not be able to access on our own by coming together. So we can sort of leverage these systems that are at play in the art world for our mutual benefit as we collect together.
Most collectors collect individually or perhaps with their partner or their family, but certainly not in a group setting like this. What would you say is the most attractive quality of Salon and this type of collecting that has drawn collectors to want to participate?
I think our biggest value really is in the community and is in our hive mind and is in our ability to come together and have this group of people that we can trust and we can debate decisions together with. People also have, we're like the early adopters, right? People are innovative, they're excited about technology, they want to deepen their participation in the art world. And then there's also people who are really excited about the diversification that Salon can bring to their own personal art collecting. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, right? I might be super gung-ho about figurative art, or I might only collect abstract art, or I focus my personal collecting on women. But with Salon, the thought is as we grow and our collection gets more diverse and more expansive, then people can really have diversification in their art investments. So there's that. And I think the way that we've sort of evolved naturally has also pointed me to this core idea that, like, it really is wonderful to come together in this community. Regularly, we meet via Zoom. And what will happen is we'll come in, and sort of the intention of these Zoom meetings is let's all talk about the art we're excited about that we want to bring to salon before we put it up and we all vote on it. But more recently, we've actually had people, in addition to bringing works that they're excited about for salon, say, hey, I'm actually thinking about buying this personally. Can we take 5 minutes and all discuss it? And like, what do you guys think about this for me? So we've also been able to play these like really fun and organic, sort of like community advisor roles for one another as we think about our own personal collecting too. So everybody who's in salon is very social and just excited about deepening their exposure to other collectors.
So, how many artworks does Salon have in the collection at this juncture? And can you share who are some of the artists that you've collected? Are
Oh,
you comfortable
100%.
sharing that?
Yeah. And you can see it all online too. We have seven gorgeous institutional grade, wonderful, unique works. And we've been able to collect from some of the industry's leading galleries. So the most recent work we bought, I'm very excited about. It's our first ceramic work. We bought a super wonderful closed form ceramic by the artist Toshiko Takezu, who actually has a show right now at the Noguchi Museum that's traveling to other a few other museums in the next 2 years. She was a master ceramicist who was super prolific in her career, but she really pioneered this closed form. So I'm making hand gestures. You obviously can't see this in the podcast, but these rounded, wonderful ceramic works that have a very, very, very small opening at the top. And if anyone remembers from their days in art classes, obviously firing something in a kiln, you need it needs to be hollow, and you need space for air to come out. So the space for air to come out of this in the kiln process is just as small as you can possibly get it. And it really is the true, you can see in her forms, it is a true master ceramicist at play. She also enclosed little clay beads inside of her works before firing them. So when you move them around, they have this wonderful, what she calls them was a rattle. So it makes this beautiful noise, almost like the ocean. She was born in Hawaii, so I like to see that sort of through line in her work. And she's now being recontextualized by scholars as an abstract expressionist. She's really painting in this gestural, lyrical way on ceramic work. So super excited to be able to collect first ceramicist, a historical artist, and yeah, a vessel. And before that, we collected a wonderful work by Oscar Murillo. It's an oil painting from his Surge series, from David's Werner. And that was, he was our first male, actually, that we collected. All of Salon's other works are by women artists. And it's a really strong example from that series. It has a lot of gravitas. It's a wonderful work. And then we have a lot of other wonderful works by artists like Alicia Quad, Mika Tajima. We've got Hannah Herr. Who am I forgetting? Yanina Shape. We've collected from great gallerists, James Cohan, David's Werner, Sean Kelly, Christina Kite. And it's been really interesting to see how our sort of community curatorial thesis has developed. When I started Salon, I thought we were going to buy a lot more uber emerging art and buy with more volume at lower prices. But we have since sort of gone up market a bit, buying less, buying really strong examples that we feel like will stand out and be, things that hopefully someday will be that example in the history book for that artist. And yeah, it's all driven by our community's desires at that time. So no, there's no telling where it will go next, but I'm sure that this strong standard that we've set for quality will continue.
So the art world has tended to lag most other industries in terms of technological innovation, but I really even think what you're doing is quite sophisticated for any industry. But tell me about your experience talking to galleries, explaining who you are when you're trying to buy an artwork for the collection. Have some galleries been excited about the idea of selling work to the collection? Have some been hesitant or anxious and have some been a bit dumbfounded, and you really have to explain to them all about Salon and what it is and how it works? What have those conversations been like with galleries?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think first and foremost, the gallery's job, especially when you're collecting works by living artists in the primary market, is to make sure that these are going to loving, loving homes. And when you say art fund, or we're, a group of people who are going to own this together, the first question galleries have, of course, is, are you going to sell this? And I think when we educate them about what Salon is, how it was structured, most galleries are really excited about testing out a new concept in this way. And then also when we tell gallerists, especially if there's personal connections to people who are already involved in Salon, we have that one-on-one relationship. You know, someone might say, "Hey, I'm actually involved with this collectors community. We're buying these things together." And we have that one-to-one intro that also really helps. But yeah, Salon is set up to exist in perpetuity. So if our members ever want to exit, it's sort of like a real estate fund, is the analogy I like to make. If they want to leave, we are not forced to sell works in order to cover their liquidity. They can actually sell works to an existing member or somebody who wants to come into the fund. So we're really like watertight in that way, that we won't ever end up in a situation where, oh my God, we need to sell all of our works. We are not in this business to be buying and selling and flipping. We really see ourselves as sort of a next generation institutional grade heritage art collection model. And if I do my job right, Salon will be around for a very, very long time. And it actually exists, set up to exist after I'm gone. So one day I might pass the torch to the next administrator. And if I pass away, Salon's collection will still be there and membership will be ever growing and ever changing. And I don't know, maybe in a couple decades, we might say, "Hey, we had a really amazing run, but we actually want to wrap the fund down. We want to deaccession all of our works." That's a decision that has to be made by the entire community. So we need a majority vote one day to be able to do that. So we'll see. But galleries are, you know, generally pretty excited, and giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think that, like, we've seen, especially through the COVID pandemic, that we need to, in order to move forward, I think the art world knows that the digital sphere is something that's not going away, and we need to embrace, you know, from the online viewing rooms of the 20, you know, 2020 to new models for collector ownership, new models for buying and selling works, this interesting peer-to-peer sort of need that is kind of emerging that I see in the art world. There's interesting, you know, horizons that we're all moving towards. And I think the galleries we've worked with have been excited about sort of supporting a new model and supporting us.
And so, as we look ahead, do you think this type of collecting could become more mainstream at some point? What do you see for the future for a salon and this type of collecting format?
So I really believe in the technology, and I wouldn't have started this if I wasn't very excited about new models of collective ownership. I think that this kind of investment is something that is super primed for an asset class, if you will, that has strong emotional attachment or almost spiritual in a way. So there's something beyond why we're all buying art, right? It's not just for an investment. We do it because we love it. We believe in art. We believe in art making. We want more art and artists in the world. I think that there's similar communities of people out there who feel the same way about things like watches or cars. So I think this model is super exciting for asset classes beyond art. I also think that it will be on the barriers to starting this kind of fund will lessen over time. And I think it's about to happen really fast, actually, with AI. So when you look at the barriers to starting something like Salon, I walked you through it a little bit earlier, but okay, it's the legal setup, it's the technical development, it's building this platform, and it's the operating costs, right? So, you know, our operating costs are very low. We pay a bit each month to, you know, host our website, to keep our app running, and at the end of the year, we have an appraiser and someone who appraiser who appraises the collection, and then we have someone who does our taxes. So all of those things that I just mentioned are probably going to be drastically reduced in terms of cost to facilitate by AI. Legal, spinning up a legal operating document, spinning up an LLC. These are things that are costly, require a lawyer's attention, but are probably going to be replaced by AI pretty soon. Technical development is getting a lot cheaper and easier from AI-assisted coding. And then appraising, we're having this, you know, we had this discussion on the way that the art world is moving forward in a more tech-forward way. We have more price transparency. We have providers on the internet that are able to show secondary market prices for different artists. I think that it's going to get a lot easier to appraise. Might even be automatic someday pretty soon. So I hope that people see these things and are able to really form and spin up their own salons for all sorts of things that they're excited about. And I don't see it as something that I'm competitive about, right? If people want to organize in this way and collect with their friends, like they should. And the value in these communities, there's room out there for so many of them and for all of us. And the value really is in the community that you're building and the set of, you know, in the art world, the set of curatorial criteria you set for your community and what you want to achieve together. Beyond the sort of collection building and investing, co-investing side, I think that this model is actually really interesting to think about for museums. And I like to sort of paint this thought experiment of we look at acquisition committees today in the museum world, and there's a lot of sort of red tape at play, right? If you're ever involved in one of these committees, oftentimes you pay a lot of money to be a part of them, and then there's some artwork that's dropped down from above on you, and you vote on it, and that's what's going to enter the collection, and you might never see it again. And that's kind of the default mode. But what is the point of a museum, right? A museum exists to steward artworks for the next generation, and hopefully those artworks are really representative of the communities that that museum is trying to serve. So I think that this model can actually bring about more representational voting and acquisition decisions for permanent collections of museums. So I will sort of paint a picture. So what would happen if, let's call it Jordan's Museum. Jordan's Museum for the next I'm located in New York, and for the next 365 days, anyone who visits my museum and sees all the artworks in my collection gets a voting share in the museum DAO. And starting on January 1 of next year, I'm going to open up that platform online, and everybody who has visited in the past 365 days is going to be able to go on. They're going to be able to share artworks that they want the museum to collect, and then everyone else is going to be able to assess them and vote on them. And then we see what comes up in this sort of bottom to top way, and the community will produce a work that they want the museum to house. So I'd love to see museums embrace a kind of model like this to really get their communities and audiences further involved in stewarding the works that they want to protect for future generations.
Jordan, thanks so much again for coming onto the podcast and introducing us to Salon and what it's like to collect as a growing community. We'll certainly be following along. And if our listeners want to learn more about Salon, what's the website they can visit?
Yep, you can find us at salondao.xyz, and you can also email me at hello@salondao.xyz.
Great. Thanks so much again, Jordan.
Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate it, and thanks to everybody for listening.